thank you for coming. And you had a chance to look at it.
We're not in the middle of
the
discussion here.
All right.
I'm good.
Did you take care of everything already, please? Are you laughing?
Yeah, are you good?
I'm not laughing.
It'd have been a lot easier.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you, sir.
How are you? Appreciate that.
So you came to the north for vacation, huh? And the rain is a welcoming sight, huh?
Yes, I wanted to see my canvas work.
Can I have the paper with?
No, she's home doing chores.
I'm just curious.
In Vermont.
Yep.
She's doing chores in Vermont?
Yes, yeah, she's doing her chores.
Oh, poor girl. She should be down in Florida.
She told me she's at her happy place.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Just a pat.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
And
well, it's very exciting when you're getting to the point that you might
I'm
be able
get
to
the names.
Use the opera.
Do you have your sign?
Well, we're that close. So that
yeah. I'll give it
close.
Right back to you. That last one was really nice.
I've been working on it. I've only been 25 years.
Oh, I'm glad we weren't too bad.
You were late.
The roofer made me very happy. I said, how much can I write on the check? And he said, no, cash only. Oh, okay. I think more slowly now, that way it's clearer. I'm glad I can welcome you to the Zoning Board of Adjustment hearing. And we shouldn't make it difficult. So first thing I'll do is ask if anybody here has any problems, any objections to anyone here. Do you feel that you have any bias or you have any issues and you need to abstain? Now's your chance. If not, you're married for life. Okay. Then I am going to introduce everyone on the board. Jake, Deb, Patrick, myself is Cindy. Zoning Administrator is Phil. And we now have the town manager in here as well, Joe. Hi, Joe.
I'm just being nosy.
Okay. And then we have
Jennifer Jackson.
Thank you, Jennifer. And we have David Nelson and Trevor Smith. Okay. And for the record, would everybody please swear to tell the truth and answer I do.
I do.
Thank you. Okay. Then the first thing is the Zoning Board of Adjustment, 6 p.m., give it, take a minute or two, on Monday, the 9th of June in the year 2025 in the Fairhaven Municipal Building, located at 5 North Park Place in Fairhaven. We've met to consider an application for conditional use approval of a public assembly use in accordance with Article 3, Section 301, Table 1, and Article 4, Section 400. The proposed location is in the existing third floor of the Fairhaven Opera House space at 51 Main Street in Fairhaven. The public assembly use proposed is a gathering space for a maximum of 49 people twice per month for primarily music or theatrical performances, with each event to last 2 to 4 hours. So the first thing, you were denied. You didn't have to go in for that?
I just referred them
to
once I found
the state.
Out,
okay.
To the zoning board, yep.
All right. And the state response is on record, is it?
The applicant stated what the state would allow for the use.
Okay.
Proposed.
So on record, we do have. Let's see if I can get it. Grin and bear with me, conditional uses, we don't do a lot. A copy of the site plan, and you all have a copy in front of you. Then we also are to receive a survey or scale map, and I believe that's in your papers, and the proposed structure, the location, land use, and roads, points, driveways, all of those things, if they pertain, are in our application. Now, most of this is said it'll go on record, that way nobody will have to go looking for a folder. Let's see here. There's a letter from David stating you're the owner and that you're hereby authorized Trevor Smith to act as your representative in connection with the conditional use permit.
Correct.
Okay. Welcome. You'll be dealing with Joe and Phil, right? You've met both of them. All right, that's everything. Next. You have, I think, I may go back and forth a little bit, but do you have a proposed sign?
Well, you know, there's a there's an awning already on the street above the entranceway that says the Fairhaven Playhouse, which I think was approved many a long time ago.
Okay.
So it's still sitting there.
And that's
other than that, there's no additional signage that we're going to propose.
Okay. Then also, while it's still fresh in my head, we're looking at parking, and do you have some kind of proposed plan for parking for 49 twice a month?
So the parking, the events will probably be either a Saturday or Sunday, would be my guess, and it'll probably be during the day. So parking is just going to be municipal parking.
So eventually, when we come down to days and times, you're pretty set that the events will be on weekend.
Well, you know, at this point in time, what we're going to do is establish a board of directors for a non. It's a. We already have established a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and what we have done as a family, because we own the building, we've been working on the mechanical part of this operation. So sprinkler systems in place, fire alarm systems in place. All of the life safety issues have been addressed and approved by the state of Vermont. So we felt that was our contribution to having this operation. And so we plan to establish a board of directors and perhaps have a part-time executive director. And I think at that point in time, we could probably be more specific about the kind of events that we would have there. It really is based on what the community would like to see and what the community involvement would be. So we don't have any specific plan as far as performances, what kind of performances, whether it's a lecture series or whether it's square dancing or if it's a one-act play or a small concert. I think that really depends on what the community would like to use the space for. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's, I think we got a blank slate right now, and we're looking for community involvement to utilize the space where the community has a say, and the community kind of makes decisions about what they'd like to see happen in the space, and how that affects all of the issues regarding parking, how it affects the other merchants, how it affects the tenants that we have downtown. I don't know if that's answering your question.
It all is, yeah. You know? It is.
Nothing is cast in stone, but it's a space that we feel it's more for the community. It's not for anything that we have we don't have a specific plan other than we've done our work to make the space available and safe.
Does that mean that, and just curious, does that mean that Trevor will be soliciting for information, or will you be doing some kind of, flyer to ask people what their interests are?
Well, I think we kind of went down that road way back, and I thought what we would do maybe is network, like we have the Chamber of Commerce come, and maybe have a wine and cheese, and let the community be involved with that. I would see us maybe having something on PEG TV and maybe do some Q&A kind of sessions on PEG TV where the general public can watch it. But in terms of spending money on flyers or anything like that, there is no money, okay? I mean, we've done our part. As far as the finances of the not-for-profit, that's going to be fundraising, that's going to be tax deductible contributions for individuals or for small companies.
Okay, and then another concern when you mentioned using the public parking, it would have to coincide since the town already has events lined up. You would certainly want to have public parking available at the time that you're doing it. And on Sundays, I would think church might be a problem. Saturdays, I can't imagine unless they're having like a big event. So you're only doing it two times a month?
Two times a month.
So it should be easy enough to keep everything in.
We don't want to have everything happen at one time in Fairhaven.
That would overwhelm people.
It would. And we want everybody to be able to come and not have a conflict.
That's true. Now, how are you handling handicap?
I guess I'm going to have to put somebody on my back and carry them up. We don't have an elevator.
Okay.
And we're not required to have an elevator at this point in time. I think we've talked to the town manager, we've talked to Mr. Gunther, and there are funds available out there to put in an elevator. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And again, if there's community support, if we see more people getting on board, and we can have... So the deal on the 49 people is basically, it's a life safety issue. And the state has allowed us to have 49 people because we have a very wide staircase from the ground floor up to the theater. And we have two means of egress on the second floor. So from a life safety standpoint, the state said, we do not have a second means of egress on the third floor out of the theater, which would be a fire escape. At such time as if this is successful and more people want to get on board, and if we take it beyond the 49 people, obviously we would come back and talk to you folks, talk to the state, and take it to the next level, which would be putting in the fire escape on the third floor. Now we're talking again tens of 20s of 30s, $40,000. If if there's funds out there available to do that in terms of grants, matching grants, fundraisers, contributions, then, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we don't have any intention of doing anything like that on the front end of this.
So did the state waive the requirement for ADA compliance? Like, is it the idea that, like, I know there's the phrasing to make, like, what is it, like, reasonable accommodation, and are they, like, would it be unreasonable for you to accommodate?
So they have a formula that if you're doing a renovation such as this, that let's say it's $300,000. They have a formula that says you have to use. They come up with 20% of the total. Okay, so if the total was 300,000, they would say, okay, well, 20% is that $60,000. Can you get handicapped accessibility for $60,000 in that space?
No, you can't.
And if you can't, then you're okay.
I see.
You get a pass or a waiver, or whatever you want to call it. It's not required or mandatory at that point.
Right.
You know, not that we wouldn't like to make it handicapped accessible, but that's a long ways down the road. I'm going to be 80 years old this year. I don't know if I'm going to get to see that in my lifetime.
Yeah.
That's why Trevor's here, because he's in his 30s. So he can take the torch and he can keep going with it.
You got the building, you can certainly keep working on grants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and Joe's been very helpful. He's been in our corner from day one, and so we're, you know, the old saying, you crawl before you walk, and that's kind of where we're at.
Okay, then now I want to ask about the water and sewer. The project shall have sufficient water and sewer capacity available. You've got bathrooms?
We have bathrooms on the second floor. We've got bathrooms on the ground floor.
Okay, and how many bathrooms do you have?
So we have two bathrooms on the second floor, his and hers. We've got in the men's room there's two urinals and a toilet, and in the women's bathroom there's three toilets, I believe.
And that's on the second floor, and that would be open for use by the people coming and going.
Correct, right.
And have you checked, well, obviously, it's been already checked through water and sewer, and you have no problem with additional capacity usage if all 49 people decided to do their thing that night, right?
Yeah, there's more than enough capacity.
Okay, good.
And they can't all do it at the same time.
One would hope not, but they could wait in line and get 2 hours worth out of you.
They could wait in line. That's right.
So. Has there been any effect on the school? Are you including in any projects?
No, but you know, I think once we open this up to the public, it would be wonderful to have some of the school involved. You know, the thing with the school, the problem that's going to happen with the school is that it's not handicapped accessible, and I think that could be an issue.
Okay.
Because it's going to be public money, then whatever, but I think for the school, it could be an issue with the handicap accessibility. It's not going to be available to everybody. And I think from a school system standpoint, that could be problematic.
Well, I'm going to read the statement, and maybe you'll be able to use it in the future when you're looking for people to work for you or otherwise. It shall not cause unreasonable burden on the ability of the Fairhaven Grade School or High School to provide educational services. So if you can do something in the future that might be on the positive side, I don't see it being a negative at all.
No, I think if any of the students want to be involved, I think it's a great space for them to come and do a one-act play or have a little choral group. For kids who might be interested in theater, this could be a great venue for them to come and practice. But again, we're fine with that part. It's the other side that may have an issue because of accessibility for certain students.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the municipal impact, the project shall not place an unreasonable burden upon the ability of the town to provide services, fire, police, ambulance, highway, public works, maintenance, and recreation, and that has already been addressed.
I met with Chief Humphreys after the application was submitted, and he saw no impact that would have, and he wasn't concerned by it, especially with the 49 capacity, given that it's probably going to be primarily residents of Fairhaven that attend. So.
Nice, thank you. Any questions so far along the way? We're all good. Now, the character of the area. I don't see anybody from downtown. Did you feel as though this was going to affect downtown in any way?
You know, we've had a number of the merchants have been asking us over and over again, like, when are you guys going to have something going on? So it's all been positive in our conversations, at least in my conversations, it's all been very positive.
Okay. Well, for the record, you've spoken to people downtown and they're all in the positive.
So far.
I can say that Robin, David's wife, spoke to me as one of the business owners downtown about, you know, that she was excited about it. But I think other people have expressed, you know, for sure, positive thoughts about this. You know, the more that's going on downtown, the better in general, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, my read is that any event that you would have, restaurants, bars, bed and breakfast, I would think all of those would gain pedestrian traffic.
Right.
You know, I mean, even going across the street to Thurphy's to go shopping or something, if you were here in town for an event. One thing I could say is, like, when Paramount and Robin has an event, I mean, it's standing room only to get into a restaurant. It's an amazing draw. The arts are one of the drivers for downtown activities in almost any community. You can go to Brandon, Virgin's, I was just down in Bellas Falls, and Bellas Falls has the Bellas Falls Opera House. I mean, I never even knew it was there, but they do first-run movies, and it's amazing. What a cute little town, but that is the main draw to that town, is the Bellas Falls Opera House. And I think this kind of facility is something that would be a boon to Fairhaven, especially if it grew to more than 49 people, but just for starters. Again, I've been coming to this town for 25 years. To me, you've got the park, which is a great asset. This is a great asset that's just been hidden for a long time. I don't think the last two generations of people even know it's there or even know what it looks like. So I think once people get into it and realize what a great, great space this town has, that I think there'll be excitement. Look at the Weston Playhouse. And I can go on and on and on about playhouses and what they do for the community and the type of traffic they bring. And if you're looking for people who want to live in the area, if they find that there's arts and entertainment, you know, that's a big draw. It's important to people.
It is. I just found Hudson Falls has an entertainment theater.
Yeah.
And it amazed me. Yeah. They send out a daily calendar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's beneficial all over.
Oh, for sure.
I just want to say this so it's on the record that Chief Humphreys agrees that he won't have traffic problems, he won't have any issues during the 2 hours that you're traveling in and out. Okay. Phil. Are there any concerns or things that I've missed?
I would just suggest to go back to the parking. There's a requirement for places of public assembly to have so many spaces for the square footage. And Trevor, in his application, indicated that he would like to be able to use the public parking because there isn't enough available on the Mr. Nelson's land behind the building. So he's asking under section 702 to be able to park in the downtown district other than on the building property.
Where exactly on building property would you have parked?
So behind our building, we own, I mean, we own three contiguous building, and there is parking for 32 cars back there. So on any event, I mean, if there was space back there, I would highly suggest that the people that are working the event would park behind it.
So those 32 spaces presently are used for employees, any residents?
Well, we have 21 residences, and, you know, they're allowed. That's pretty much where they're, it's not designated, but it's parking,
right.
That's first come, first serve. But, you know, they're not there all the time. But there is additional parking beyond, besides public parking. But on any given day, I don't know how many people we can park back there. Like for myself, anytime I come to Fairhaven, I park behind my building.
So
I want to keep parking available.
And how many spaces did you say that was?
We have 32.
32.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. And you can make some kind of information noticeable to people, or will it be by word of mouth? Because the average
for those what I would envision would be that, like, if Trevor and I would came over here for the event, that we would park back there. People who are involved with an event, we can certainly tell them and announce to them that we would prefer that they park behind the building and keep the public spaces available. For the event.
You figure for the concerts, the town accommodates how many people, you know. That,
for the
you know,
summer
you're only
concerts.
You want to have maximum 46 people, I'm sure the town can accommodate them. Mm-hmm. You know, seems to me.
And just to add, loading and unloading for events, you have the access in the front for people to go up with, if it was musicians or actors.
We've made a number of requests to have a loading zone in front of our building.
But right now, that would be where you would have access for folks doing the performances.
That's right.
How's your success rate on that?
Zero. I think a 15-minute loading zone or a 30-minute loading zone on Main Street is very important to this town. For UPS deliveries, for FedEx deliveries, considering how many people are using Amazon, and all the delivery trucks are double parked out there. I just really believe this town needs a loading zone, the downtown area.
So, again, it could be something that would happen down the road when people start to see it's being used, but you, there's something in the air in this community about parking, and they hate losing parking in front of the businesses.
Cindy, I've already lost 5 because of the crosswalk, okay?
Yeah.
5.
So the last thing you want to do is lose it for 15-minute load and unload.
I would be fine with that because we're the only, going back to the laundromat, we're the only business downtown where somebody literally schleps 50 to 100 pounds of stuff through our front door.
Every day.
Everybody else goes and gets an envelope or a pizza.
So I'll just say I watched somebody go all the way from, they parked in front of Cloud 9 and dragged a bag of laundry all the way to the laundromat the other day, and I was just
watching
that.
So how much business do you think we've lost because people don't want to do that? So
they
go to another town.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you had any response at all, or just it's left blank? We're getting to that point. Is it you're just told, no, it can't be done?
It just never gets done.
Okay.
I don't know why it doesn't get done. I don't know. Maybe it's not a priority. I don't know, I don't come over here and do this very often. I just work for a living, and at the end of the day, I'm done. I don't come over here and sit in front of people and do this. So
we miss you.
I've made my request, you know, I've more than once, and that's all I can say. It's been going on for a long time.
Okay, well, it's on record as well.
Okay. I think a loading zone, it not only is it for everybody, but if we had a loading zone close to our front door, it would accommodate the people schlepping 50 to 100 pounds worth of stuff and not having to come all the way from Cloud 9 or across the street. And if the theater gets a permit, you're going to need to have a space where people can pull up. If it was a small theater operation, they need to bring stuff up those stairs. They do need to park somewhere, okay? You know, right now it's like, hopefully we can get there first and get that spot. I mean, that's what it is. That's the reality of what we're going to deal with right now. Is like, gee, I hope we can get close to park there so we can bring stuff up the stairs. That's it. But if there was a loading spot there, we would know that at least for a while we can get our stuff there.
You stated you lost 5 parking spots. What, for 2 handicap or a crosswalk and a handicap?
The whole issue regarding when the town got some money way back, I don't know how many years ago it was now, the state gave the towns some options. And one was to have additional parking in front of my building at 51 Main Street and to have some sort of a bump out. The state was not requiring the crosswalk that's there. That the state gave the town options. And one of the options was to have it over where the Cloud 9 place was, the crosswalk there, or to have or not have a crosswalk which is there now, which yeah. goes across 4 lanes of traffic. Initially, the select board here said, no, we don't need that parking space. We don't need that crosswalk, which allowed me to have the 5 parking spaces. Then there was a non-binding vote by the town to put the crosswalk back in, because they took it out, and I had my 5 parking spaces. Then there was a non-binding vote, and a majority of the people voted to put the crosswalk back in. The select board did not put the crosswalk back in, and we still had our 5 parking spaces. There was a small vocal minority who kept coming to every single select board meeting saying they wanted the crosswalk, they wanted the crosswalk, they wanted the crosswalk. Finally, the select board came. Gave them the crosswalk and took away the 5 parking spaces. You couldn't have both. You had to have one or the other. It had to do with the handicapped accessibility and the visibility from the front of the building from a guy in a wheelchair so he could see the traffic coming north and south. So that's why we have what we have today. We have a crosswalk and we lost 5 parking spaces. And it's been that way for, I don't know, 10 years.
So the select board can eliminate the crosswalk?
Apparently they can. And well, in fact, if I'm not mistaken,
they're planning.
Joe, there's been discussion about taking it out again. And in fact, I actually watched it on Peg TV. That's one way I get to find out what's going on over here. And the chairman of the Board of Selectmen remembered all of the drama regarding the crosswalk from way back when. And he wasn't willing to take any action on it. He just listened.
But. And who decides on the loading sign? Got the select board?
No, Joe could probably tell you that better than me. I don't know. I think that the board of the select board has that authority, I believe.
Going by the recommendation of the police and the town manager.
Probably, yeah.
So the board's talking about that right now, removing it
I think they talked about it on the table, but I'm not sure they're coming back to it.
They're discussing.
You were involved in that to some degree, I believe, right? Yeah. There was a petition, I think, that went around. And we signed the petition voting to eliminate the parking and the crosswalk and requested that a loading space, you know.
Well, thank you for enlightening us on that particular process of losing five spaces and having them go into limbo.
I found a picture, an old picture of my building, and
early on,
and it showed it was the thing about the picture was so cool because it had all the parking right in front of it, you know. I'm like, I need to bring this over and show to people that, you know, back in the day, folks, when downtown was booming, you allowed parking, and now maybe you wonder why there's empty storefronts. Well, because of parking.
Did you notice on your picture they had the crosswalk at the end in front of the wooden soldier to Durf?
The picture wasn't that at all. It didn't take the whole thing. It was more of a close-up, I just thought that was kind of interesting. The other thing is, if you want to talk about parking, the only other issue that we have about parking is that you do have a two-hour parking ordinance.
Which is
okay, you're only allowed to park 2 hours.
Not enforced.
But it's not enforced. So it's like, what's the point? Okay, so we lost the five spaces, and then you've got certain folks who park out front of their business all day long.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why nobody's coming. And then you come over here and you talk about it, but nothing ever gets done. So there's no enforcement of the parking. You've lost the five parking spaces, and you don't have a loading zone.
So is that why you picked 2 hour programs? One less thing to have to.
Well,
debate.
I think the plus for having an activity in the theater is if we have it on a Saturday or Sunday, that it's not going to. Most of the places downtown are closed on the weekend.
Vacant.
They're vacant or they're closed. So I don't think it's going to interrupt in any economic activity to a great degree with the parking. I mean, I don't care what happens downtown. Parking is, I think it's always going to be an issue. If you have a successful downtown, you're going to have a parking problem.
Question, since you've been around Fairhaven for so long, there is the two-hour parking ordinance, and then we have the policy that it's a condition of doing business downtown that business owners, property owners, their tenants, their employees don't park in front of the commercial buildings at all, right? You can use it for loading and unloading, but you should be parking elsewhere. That policy and that ordinance, were they ever enforced in your experience?
I don't know if it's a policy.
Oh, it is a policy.
Okay. Whose policy? A town's policy?
What? It's been part of the zoning approval process,
yeah,
not to take up those spaces. So
that's right.
When someone has come for a new use, the Planning Commission has consistently asked for a condition that the employees of the business, owners, employees, park across the street and somewhere in the free parking and not take up those two-hour spaces. That's correct.
Yeah.
But I just wondered if, because, you know, you've spent a lot of time downtown over the years, do you remember if it was ever enforced? I'm just curious.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I have to tell you, I've always tried to enforce it for my own employees, you know. And if we ever found out that they were parking, they would be reprimanded. And the same thing with our tenants.
Yep.
If we ever find out that our tenants are parking out front, we knock on their door. They know that we're not pleased, and it's in their lease agreement with us.
Right.
So we have, you know, first of all, when we got the permit, it was like, you will not park out there. And then we put it into our lease agreement that you will not park out there. And I think we've had a couple who ignored it, and we took action. I don't believe we have our tenants parking out front right now that I'm aware of.
I don't.
And usually, if they do, someone tells me eventually, or tells Trevor, and or tells our manager or our maintenance guy. And
right.
We've been pretty. We're very sensitive to that because, again, 50 to 100 pounds of schlepping your stuff. You're only going to carry it for so far.
Right.
I mean, I would.
If I had to bring
my dirty laundry halfway across town, I would go someplace else. I wouldn't do it.
Right. Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I don't think the town has ever enforced it. I mean, I don't think the town has ever made an issue of dealing with it.
They tried having the meter made.
Well,
Alice Reed. That was Dickie Reed's wife.
Must be a good workout.
She would mark the tires.
Yeah.
And then they went about their business. Yeah. But yeah. When the business owners themselves don't want to give up space, it's hard.
Well, it is hard. I mean, that's like.
Present ourselves. So can I move back to one last question I have?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the historic significance of the upstairs? Because that will be important.
Well, the building was built in 1895. I think we might have given you some pictures, but it's got a stage and a balcony.
Black and white.
A stage and a balcony and hardwood floors. If you look at it now, you can actually see the markings for the basketball court. You can see the half court mark. You can see the foul lines were.
Okay.
And court.
I thought I'd heard that.
And so obviously they had. I found somewhere where, like in 1905, that Fairhaven had its high school graduation in this space.
1905?
Like 1905. I saw some invitations to the high school graduation.
That'd be interesting.
You know, when we were doing some of the renovations, we found old playbills for performances that had been up.
That's
there.
Neat.
There was an article that Mrs. Reeland did for the Fairhaven Playhouse, and they talked about semi-pro basketball players, and they used to go and change their clothes in the hotel across the street where the
Hilton
is now. And at halftime, they would go across, in the middle of the winter, they would go over there, and then they'd run back over, and they'd have their shorts on and stuff, but they're running in the cold.
They were young enough not to let it bother them.
There was a chimney there where you could tell where they must have had a coal stove to heat it.
So was there like where people sat?
There's no permanent seating, and I don't believe there ever was.
So
no.
They stood
Which
around.
Which makes it kind of neat in a way because, like I said, you could have square dancing on one day, and then you could take the folding chairs and whatever, and you could have a play. You know, so I like the fact that there is no permanent seating because I think it gives the space more flexibility. I call it a multifunction hall.
Nice.
That's how I look at it. I like that. That would be kind of cool to do roller skating up there.
With nice wood floors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're all welcome to come over and have a tour if you want to do that before you make your decision.
Okay. Certainly hope to see movies and play. I mean, play.
I would love to have some movies. I'd love to have a film festival, maybe a black and white film festival.
Noir evening, yes.
I feel like we are so close now that we've got the state on our side, which is the hardest of all. that and the life safety issues are the toughest. And the state, I mean, it was a big day. It was a big deal when they were there and they said, "Yeah, okay, you got your permit." That was huge.
That's nice. So did they phrase it? Did anyone come and measure flooring pounds per square inch?
We actually did have a stress test done on the building.
And the
capacity of 250 people.
250.
I believe that's what it is. I'll have to go back and pull that stress test.
I would love to have a copy of that for our records.
Yeah. I'd like to be able to find it myself. But we did have one done. In fact, it was the first time around that we did
this. It was a requirement.
Almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. And even before that, 40 years ago, it was different. So it would be one thing that anyone who lived back 40 years ago here and wanted to do something with that will appreciate, that it has now been approved up to 250 people.
Yeah, I believe so. For the stress test, yeah.
And that would have been done by the state?
No, independent.
Okay.
Independent engineer.
Do you happen to know who the engineer was?
No, I don't. Okay. I've got to go and I figure out where I put that paperwork.
It is sort of a priority, and it would be nice if you could get that.
I could go look for it. Okay. I mean, the thing about it is, if nothing else, I'm comfortable that we did it, and I know.
And you could swear to it.
You
know, yep.
I have that for my own personal.
Thank you.
Well-being.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions. Is anyone else feeling... David, we've been down this road before, and I think it was a wonderful thing when you took that building. If you could make that building complete, the town will be very fortunate.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. And this is the last piece of the puzzle to do all those, to do the complete three buildings. I mean, I think back on what it was like when you took it over, just where the residential units are now. I suspect most of you haven't been in the residential units, but, you know, they came out real nice. And, you know, they've got sprinkler systems and fire alarm systems. I mean, if nothing else, it's made the whole town downtown safer. You know, half of your or a third of your block now is very safe compared to what it was when we took it over. And just before I came here, I happened to go over to see, because my guys were painting the front of the building last couple. And one of my tenants, who I'd never met, just moved in. He's an elderly man. He's probably 82 years old. He just moved in, and I hadn't met him. And he just said how happy he was, you know, to be in a downtown area where he can walk to everything. And before that, he was out on a farm and he was isolated. And, you know, that's the kind of tenant now that we have. In the beginning, it was kind of like juniors and seniors in college and some of the assistant coaches and things like that. Now we have more of a permanent resident kind of tenant, so we don't have a high turnover. But they're appreciating being downtown and walking to all the services, and you know, it's a sense of community that wasn't there before. And
it took a lot of energy to get there, too.
What's that?
It took a lot of your energy to get there, too.
Well, it was quite a challenge, but we've enjoyed it. I really have enjoyed it. And like you said, this is the last piece. This is the last piece to make everything totally occupied and productive.
Is that when you put a big sign on the top that says David Nelson?
No, my name. No, I don't do that. My name won't be on anything.
There's a separate permit for that.
There you go.
That's part of the
keep song. It hanging.
No.
The wonderful. Well, thank you for coming. And this board will make its decision, and we will submit it to Phil, and then Phil will have a time period. He'll let you know when you have the written decision.
You will be submitting a written decision that will come to them by certified mail.
Oh, darn.
I get it at the same time they do.
Oh, okay. Then I guess you all will celebrate or not celebrate at one time together.
We will together, yes. Hopefully.
Do we have like a number of days? Do you know?
45 days.
Oh, heck. That would ruin summer, wouldn't it?
So we have no heat. So,
make your mind up.
Here it is, the middle of June, and
45 days would be, you'd have a lot of heat in August.
Hopefully, we'll take the heat in August. And
there you go.
You know, I'm thinking, we don't have a heating system up there, so it's for another. All intents and purposes, activity would be, May, June, July, August, September, October, maybe.
Well, 49 people will keep a room warm.
Yeah.
Did you see how big this room is?
And heat rises.
But, I was hoping that we would have, a couple events before the leaves fall off the trees get a couple, whatever it can be. I mean, something simple, but just to get... I think getting the Lakes Region Chamber of Commerce up there for some kind of social gathering would be a real good move. And I'm sure there's other organizations that we could invite that would want to come up and start to get a feel for the place. Have a suggestion box and open it up to have people who would like to be on the board of directors.
I can see you having auctions up there. Small auctions,
yeah.
Art
stuff up there.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Just again, nothing too heavy.
Yeah.
Now, there's the problem, because I was thinking the library needs to sell the slate off their roof to get a new roof. We could auction the slate as... What was his name that started with a C? That
Carnegie.
All that slate was donated by Carnegie, and other libraries all over the country are doing it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Buy a slate, have the date painted on there.
Okay.
We'll come, that's another one for you.
Suggestion. Well, just yesterday or the day before, signed up for a Gmail address, so the Fairhaven Opera House now has a Gmail email address.
Well, what's the address?
Can send us things now.
What's the address?
The Fairhaven Opera House at gmail.com.
Okay.
There you go.
How can that be, right?
How unique.
Yeah, how unique. It is unique.
I don't understand why people make Gmail so difficult if you want to be connected.
Yeah. FairhavenOperaHouse@gmail.com. So
there you go, Dad.
Send me an email.
Well, thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much, folks.
It was nice to meet you. I hope everything goes smoothly for you after you guys get an answer.
Thank you. Very
appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. You're doing a good job,
you
guys.
Good night.
Well, we did it under an hour.
Do you need me anymore?
No, but whenever you send that, I think you sent it to Roseanne. She's